out! Put, 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 put!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We're doing great. So Chewy's back. I'm just going to kind of clear out. I feel like he hasn't talked to you in a while. I'm sure he's got plenty of questions. So I think Chewy just might isoball this interview and just get, you know,
ball
ask.
Hug. Yeah. You kind of forget how to do that. Jason, when you take a lot of time off, do you kind of you got to get back in the swing of things? So it's almost like you're overly excitable.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't take a lot of time off. You'd have to have a couch.
That's a good pop. Talk to me about Dobbs, Jason. It was immaturity? Regret it? Have you talked to him?
I have not. No, none of us have. I don't know if he was being a hermit during his 2 days that he chose not to come to work. But, you know, again, I don't know where this will end up in terms of, like, what this does to his future. Like, Tausch and I were talking about this. Like, if you're the Packers, how do you not let this influence your thinking on any thoughts you might have about an extension, right? Like, I've done this for so long, and I don't remember. Like, there have been things that have been done by players that were conduct detrimental to the team. But, like, even with Jair last year, which I think was the first conduct detrimental suspension that I've actually had during my time covering the Packers. Like, yeah, he did something selfish. Yeah, he did something knuckleheaded. But it's not like he didn't just show up for work. And, you know, guys have overslept. Guys have done this and that. But I don't think there's been a time where a guy just didn't show up for work. And then the team sent a member of their security detail to his house to make sure, I don't mean to be blunt, but like to make sure he's not dead. Like, that's how rare this kind of behavior is. And so I don't, you know, LaFleur said they had a good conversation and whatever else. But the bottom line is, you know, it makes you wonder about this guy's decision-making, whether he truly is that all-for-one, one-for-all type guy that he claimed to be. Like all these receivers have claimed to be about all the, you know, no clear number one, et cetera, talk. And what is he going to do the next time he faces adversity? Which, again, I didn't think he was facing that much adversity. I mean, yeah, he hadn't gotten as many targets as he'd like, but, you know, you don't think Greg Jennings was unhappy with his targets at some point? You don't think Donald Driver, during that 2012 season when they brought him back, even though they really just brought him back to save the PR hit of cutting the Dancing with the Stars champion. Like, those guys, they all have egos, but I don't remember any of them ever doing this. I mean, the closest I can think of was when they had the big snowstorm up here and they were picking up all the players so they didn't have to drive through it. And JerMichael Finley wasn't at home because he was in some co-ed's dorm room at UW Green Bay.
Yeah, he's a moron.
Your guy.
That is your guy, Chew.
He's a moron.
So how do the Packers go forward, though, Jason? Because I feel like LaFleur's in a tough spot because obviously Dobbs wants more targets, but you can't necessarily reward him for acting out and devise a game plan where he's heavily involved, but he's going to be back, so you can't just not have him involved, but you don't want to send the message of, oh yeah, just pout and now you get your way and here come 10 plays right away at the beginning of the game for you. Like, how is and I know he didn't really want to talk about it yesterday, but how does LaFleur handle this going forward?
Yeah, and look, I don't want to brag, but I did think that I stumbled upon the angle to get him to talk about it. And I thought if you listen to his think he answers two questions from me first, and then I brought up the fact that just a couple weeks ago we had been talking about how many guys they were playing and the upside of that, of getting guys involved and guys that aren't starters feeling like, hey, you know, I have something to work for and look forward to on game day. I'm not just going to play on special teams. Like, you know, the Evan Williamses, the rotation they were doing at corner, the number of defensive linemen that were coming in and out of the lineup, the wide receiver situation. Like, you could ask Chewy, like, back in his day, you know, yeah, there were some personnel grouping changes and different guys would get in, but it wasn't like Terry Mickens was playing 10 offensive snaps. Like, he was the fourth receiver. He didn't get to play on offense very often. And so when I look at what LaFleur was doing, I loved it. Like, I think I prefaced the question by saying, look, I know this isn't middle school basketball, but you guys are managing to get a lot of different players involved. What's the value in that? Little did I know that, like, literally 2 weeks later, one guy would feel like it was detrimental to his own targets and his contract push and everything else. So what I would argue is, given where Dobbs was in terms of targets and snaps, I don't think LaFleur's got to change anything. Because that's the problem with this, right? Like, that's why we're all so mystified by it. It's not like he had played in four games, all with Jordan Love, and he had like eight targets on the season. Like, he played more going into L.A. before he was suspended. He played more offensive snaps than any wide receiver on the roster. His 20 targets were only two fewer than the two guys that were tied at the top of the target chart. And I don't know if you guys saw Bill Huber, who obviously has been... He has absolutely owned this story. I don't know who his sources were, but that you have not seen one single solitary word from the Packers pushing back on anything he said or reported. And in his most recent story, he had pointed out that so Dobbs came to work on Wednesday, even though he was unhappy with his targets after the Minnesota game. And then he saw the game plan on Thursday, or saw the game plan on Wednesday, went through practice, and decided that the game plan did not have enough focus on him. And so that's why he skipped Thursday and Friday. So your point is a very good one. How do you go about having enough in your game plan for him that he feels like he's going to be involved? But it's not like he wasn't. I mean, the dude had eight targets in the game against Minnesota. Like, and he would have had his first touchdown if he would have caught that ball at the goal line cleanly instead of bobbling it and then falling across the goal line and into the, you know, regular field of play. So I don't know what you do if you're LaFleur, because I'm sure when this happened, don't you think LaFleur was like, he's what?
Yeah, I think he was like the rest of us, Jason.
Jason, in your 2+ years of covering him, did you see this character flaw or no? Did you think
So that's a really good question. So and look, I've said this a bunch of times. I want to make sure I say it every time I talk about him. I don't know what else could be going on with him. Like, if there's some sort of, and I do not say this lightly or flippantly, if there's some sort of mental health aspect to this, I do not want to trash the guy, not knowing anything about it, but no one has said to me that that's a factor here. But Tausch gives me a hard time because I said he's probably the most even-keeled guy I've ever covered. And that was based on, like, his tone doesn't change in conversations. He doesn't seem to get excited about much of anything. He doesn't seem to get angry about much of anything. And I don't want to make this sound like, yeah, he's a quiet guy, kept pretty much to himself. Never would have thought he would do something like this. But that's kind of how it was. Like, you know, he is different. I don't want to say weird. I don't want to say strange. He is a different guy. And, you know, Billy Schrader, I didn't like him. He didn't like me. Mm-hmm. We had some disagreements. Once kicked me out of a group interview. But, like, hey, even if you're kind of a jerk, at least there's some sort of juice there, right? And he was just like flatline in every conversation. And it's not just me, it's everybody. Like he just, and I, it just makes me wonder if the old saying about still waters running deep and then suddenly there's this kind of eruption doesn't hold true with him.
Jason, is Jordan Love 100%?
I don't think he's 100%. I think he's close enough that he's able to practice fully. I think he's close enough that I don't think we can use that as too much of a crutch on his performance. I mean, you know, he ran pretty well on that 3rd and 12 that he picked up. So I think he's pretty close.
When are they going to run out of excuses for the pass rush, Jason? Because first it was, well, we're kind of just mush rushing because the quarterbacks are athletic. Now it's, oh, well, our ends are getting chipped.
We're getting chipped a lot. Yeah, chippers.
I mean, I feel like we're running out of excuses at this point.
No, I'm sure we can come up with some others.
Okay, all right.
And look, having covered all these different coaches, like, you know, LaFleur is very, like, there are times where there are exceptions, certainly, right? Like, saying that Sean Ryan wasn't in good condition. And that's why he was not, you know, having to rotate or whatever. But Mike Holmgren wouldn't have said, well, we're getting chipped a lot. Like, yeah, you know who else gets chipped a lot? T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Micah Parsons. If chipping was this, like, grand, does it help? Certainly. But if it was this just grand solution to every pass rush, wouldn't every team chip and nobody would ever be able to get home?
Yeah. I mean, now, do I think that there are that all these the proliferation of the McVay Shanahan offense has a lot of chipping in it that makes things different than when, you know, Santana and Gilbert and Reggie and the great Gabe Wilkins. He was the one guy that I thought of, by the way, Chu, on the Romeo thing, like refusing to go back to the Super Bowl with a quasi injury.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was definitely a selfish move for my career. But, like, the pass rush is different than it was then, right? There's not as many 5 to 7 step drops. The ball comes out a lot faster now. So I get that. I get all these chips. But, again, somehow the Myles Garretts and the top pass rushers in this league somehow get home more often than the guy that was supposed to be elite in Rashawn Gary. I mean, I saw a chart somewhere on social media yesterday where his success rate, both in terms of sacks and pressures, has just cratered, and it is inexplicable for him. And look, Chewy knows this from my time covering him. Like, when a player's struggling, the one thing I don't want to do is write about him or talk about him without talking to him. And so I have not talked to Rashawn. I don't know how revealing he would be about what his reasons are that he thinks he hasn't been productive. But I would hope that he would be honest and say, look, if I'm going to be as good of a player as I believe I am, it shouldn't matter if I'm getting chipped. It shouldn't matter if I'm getting thumped by the tight end. You know, I'm good enough that I can still affect the quarterback, and I haven't done that enough. I would love that to be his answer. So I'm hoping I get to talk to him this week and see if that's what he says.
Well, Jason, we were talking about Lucas Van Ness too. And I mean, you look at Reed, plays like a first round pick. You look at Kraft, mm-hmm. plays like a first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Lucas Van Ness is nothing more than a try hard guy. I don't think he's very skilled at pass rushing. He doesn't really have a lot of moves. And I think I know what he is now. He's just a try-hard guy. Are they happy with his play?
I can't imagine they are, right? I mean, like, he had the one sack. Was his sack against Tennessee? Felt like everybody had a sack against Tennessee except for Rashawn Gary. he's a big, strong dude, right?
Yeah.
I think Tausch said this from the moment they drafted him. You know, he didn't even start at Iowa. Take that for what it's worth, and we can say that he was part of a rotation and this and that, and he's a young player, which is definitely true, right? He's 23, but I would just say that he looks to me like a guy He's got one move, yeah. right? Like mm-hmm. George, yeah. like George Costanza's dad. That's my move.
Stop short.
And it's stop short and bull rush, right? I mean, because he is powerful, but you know, again, being around these right tackles all the time because we have Bulaga on every week, and I do one of the Homer Hours with him, and then Green Bay Game Day. Like, the fact of the matter is if you know a guy only as a bull rusher, then you can set your anchor against him, and if you're a big tackle who also can get his hands on you, doesn't matter how big and strong and if he's nicknamed Hercules or not, mm-hmm. because they can set their anchor against you and they can basically eliminate you. And so I don't want to write him off because he's a young player and he is developing, but you nailed it, Chu. Like, you have to develop various pass rush moves because when they figure you out, you have to have something else for them that throws them off. And I can't tell you how many pass rushers I've talked to over the years that would tell you about how they got to switch it up and how they're setting guys up. Like, I remember having a great conversation with Julius Peppers, which was great in part because it was so rare to get him one-on-one and really get him engaged. But he was super engaged when I wanted to understand, you know, the process of setting up a tackle. And one of the reasons why he didn't at first like being a part-time pass rush specialist during his time in Green Bay, even though it made him much more productive and he was late in his career and this and that, was that, hey, I really like setting guys up. Like, I want to go and do this multiple times on rushes, and then they come to expect it, and that's when I hit them with the speed mm-hmm. to power instead, right?
Yeah.
And I just, that there's a process to doing that, and at this point it would appear that Lucas Van Ness has not done that. I would add this, because I was part of this crew that was talking these guys up. I have no idea why they, and it may be as simple as Zach Tom not being in the lineup during much of the first half of training camp, but these guys were all eating the offensive line's lunch in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who always has believed in the value of practice, I have no idea what to make of this. Like, why were they so good in camp? And now, like, the Rams' offensive line was missing 60% of its preferred starters. And they still pretty much stonewalled them, other than Carl Brooks. So help me understand what happened. And no one wants to answer that.
Jason, for your sake, I hope Julius Peppers was not as engaged as Antonio Freeman was when he was showing you how to beat press man coverage.
For those who have missed that story, that is a callback to him demonstrating in the locker room how to get away from a DB who's press man on him, and he was grabbing and pulling and pushing me while wearing nothing but an athletic supporter.
I don't think half our listeners know what a jock is. I mean, have you ever true. Worn one, Gabe?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean,
so
I
you
used
weren't
to catch.
The compression
yeah, to wear
short?
One with a cup. Oh, yeah. Okay. Baseball player.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to catch. Used to have, yeah.
I mean, after that, I started wearing one in the locker room.
Just so I support. You got to be ready, Jason. You never know. Apparently, at that point, you just got to always be ready. Jason, we appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing more coming up on Wildy and Tausch.
I love dude days. All right, guys. So take good. Care. Be good.
Jason Wildy joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I do want to dive more into this Romeo Doubs situation. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur about this, and I want to get Chewy's reaction on how he would deal with this if he was a teammate of Romeo Doubs's. That's next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.